I'd like to bring this meeting, the Carson City Airport Authority, to order. It is Wednesday, June 30th, 2018, at 6:02 p.m. We are at the Carson City Community Center Sierra Room. Madam Chairman, will you call the roll?
Thanks for the permission.
Madam Secretary, excuse me.
Chairperson Law.
Here.
Vice Chair Val.
Here.
Member Barrett.
Here.
Member Golden. Member Harris.
Here.
Member Harvey. Member Rogers.
Here.
A quorum's present.
It should be noted that Member Golden, his father is having cornea surgery today, cornea replacement surgery, and Member Harvey is out of town, so both have been excused. If you would stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. The minutes were sent to us a few days ago. Does anyone have any corrections or changes to the minutes as they were drafted? I saw none. Do I have any comments or any other remarks about the minutes? Seeing none, I would move for adoption of the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Harris and seconded by Member Barrett. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nay. None heard. Motion carries. Item D, modification of the agenda. The chairman reserves the right to modify the agenda in order to most effectively process the agenda items. Items may be taken out of order. Items may be combined for consideration by the authority. Items may be pulled or removed from the agenda at any time. Item E, public comment. Do we have any public comment at this time? Brian, would you like to introduce your boss?
Thank you, Brian Fitzgerald with Atkins, and in the audience I have my direct report. I'm his direct report, excuse me, Ben Goble. He's out of our Chicago office. He's in town visiting our projects and wanted to attend tonight's meeting, so that's my boss, Ben.
Welcome. Moving on to item F, awards and presentations. There being none, we will move to item G. Number one, for possible action to approve the Carson City Airport Authority budget augmentation for fiscal year 2017-18 and authorization for staff to make required filings. Ms. Cohn, please state your name and spell for the record.
Beth Cohn Cole, K-O-H-N hyphen C-O-L-E, the partner in charge of your audit with Cohn & Company. I prepared the worksheet on the budget augmentation, so I was asked to come and present this to you. Basically, when you approve the final budget, there was a column for where you expected June 30 of 18 to end up. And so this augmentation is in line with what management determined at that time where your final numbers, or estimated final numbers would be, and they were higher than your original budget. So this is being augmented by $78,000 of additional revenue, an increase in your opening fund balance of $53,000, some decreases in expenses, and some increases in expenses, and an increase to your budgeted ending fund balance. And the only difference from that final budget that was presented with the estimated June 30, 18, is the grant expenditures. You spent more than you thought you were going to spend on that, on one of the grants, so I also augmented that. And that's it.
Any questions for Ms. Cohn Cole?
Yeah,
Mr. Barrett.
Could you explain the excess part, where that comes from?
So the excess revenue. So if you look on page one of the augmentation, personal property tax revenue was originally budgeted at $198,915. And based upon more current projections, you expect to get $217,805?
I'm not sure. I haven't been able to find the...
Oh.
Okay.
What page do they have?
I think they have that cover sheet.
But that's it?
Yeah.
Oh. So let me explain. I'll tell you what it says. So an increase in personal property tax revenue of approximately $19,000, a decrease in grant income, because that was estimated at the beginning of the year, of about $9,000, an increase in leases of about $31,000 from the original estimate. Tie downs is up approximately $3,500. Miscellaneous is up about $8,000. And rock sales is up almost $25,000.
Thank you very much, particularly for the tie-dye reference.
And then your opening fund balance from last year's audit was higher, so therefore that number was also augmented for $53,000.
Any other questions of Ms. Cohn-Cole? I see no one in the audience to ask for public comment, but is there any public comment at this time? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the award, to approve the budget augmentation for fiscal year 2017-2018. And authorize staff to make the required filings.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Member Rogers and a second from Member Harris. Any discussion on the motion? Any public comment on the motion? None heard. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. None heard. Motion carries. Do I need to sign that as well? Yeah, I just wasn't matching up numbers for some reason.
So, and I had a typo.
Okay. Looks good to me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
And I'm going to start this at that end if you'll add your name to that. I'll give it to Ken. Okay, moving right along. Item number two for possible action, discussion and award of the FAA AIP 32 to rehabilitate taxiways A, B, C, and D, taxi lanes E and F, and access road to the responsive apparent low bidder, approve the contract with Atkins to provide construction management, submit a grant application to the FAA based on bids, and to authorize Chair Law to accept the FAA grant when offered. Mr. Fitzgerald.
Thank you. Brian Fitzgerald again with Atkins. Last meeting we talked about rejecting all bids for this project and to go out for a rebid, which was done, and the bids were opened up yesterday, reviewed yesterday, and then my findings were essentially sent out this morning. We knew it was going to be quick, so I do apologize if you guys didn't have advance notice before the meeting on my recommendation for this award of the project. But in my memo I have there in front of you outlines what we discovered in reviewing the bids. Two contractors, Maxwell Asphalt and Q&D Construction, submitted, so it was one less than previously. Maxwell Asphalt was submitted the lowest number of $256,000 versus Q&D's $293,000. And then, however, when reviewing those documents, there were two items that were not completed, in my opinion. One of them was attachments associated with the addendum weren't included in their bid proposal, and the instructions indicate specifically to do so. The second item is to list themselves on the subcontractor's list as self-performing any remaining part of the project that their subcontractor will not be doing. It says specifically in the directions to do so, and they did not list themselves as self-performing. So based upon those two omissions, it was my indication that I had to review Q&D's submissions, and they did do exactly what was asked of them to do. They provided the attachments from the addendum, and they did list themselves as self-performing what portions their subcontractors aren't doing. So it is my opinion at that point then to render Maxwell's as non-responsive based upon those two omissions, and to award the construction contract to Q&D at this time. Was there any questions on that?
Any questions? Vice Chair Val.
Is it possible that that was intentional and not an accidental oversight on their part? They had no intent to self-perform, that 100% was going to be contracted?
When you look at the form, which I do have here, if you want to look at it at any time, for the subcontractor form, they list one subcontractor at about 4.6%. So the remaining 96-ish percent would be considered as self-performing. We have run into this issue in the past by saying what's not listed, you are assuming you're going to self-perform, but that has also caused other issues in the past, hence the reason why we have not had, why the language says you need to list what you are going to be self-performing on that list, is to try and eliminate that issue as well.
Mr. Takis.
Just so that it's clear, Member Vowell, the contract as written said that you have to list any contractor that's doing over 1% of the bid price, and separately says you have to list any time the prime contractor is doing over 1%. And so the way it was worded, it would capture everybody who's doing over 1%. And in the Maxwell bid, they only listed one person, and it wasn't the prime, it was a subcontractor who was doing, I think, around 4% of the contract or something. And so it leaves a question mark there, is who's doing the rest? If everybody else who's doing the project is doing less than 1%, then that would be okay. But there isn't any indication of that, and that's not a realistic conclusion. It was probably an accidental oversight or not careful reading of what the terms and requirements were. They probably just assumed that if they didn't list anybody else, we would assume that they were doing everything else. But as Brian mentioned, in the past, that's caused problems. That's why the language was worded. That's why Atkins put the language together to identify both. And then the other part that was missing, I have to admit, when I first looked at it, I thought, big deal. They didn't attach part of the RFP in with their bid when they filed their bid. But as Mr. Fitzgerald explained to me in emails, there has been problems in the past where people said, well, it wasn't in what I sent back to you, so I'm not obligated by it. And that's one of the reasons, again, that the instructions from Atkins in the RFP said, and you must attach this addendum. And the reason is to show that you're going to comply with those terms. And so, in my opinion, those are both significant errors, and they constitute a non-compliance with the RFP requirements. And so I support Mr. Fitzgerald's recommendation to reject the Maxwell bid, which only leaves us with Q&D, which obviously means that the recommendation is to approve Q&D so we can get forward with the project. There's always a risk that somebody can protest that it might happen here. They've made some noise that way to Brian, but I think that that's still the correct process. And I certainly believe that if you went the other way and gave it to Maxwell, I would fully expect Q&D to protest that, because I think that would be strong grounds for a protest. I don't think Maxwell has strong grounds for their protest. They maybe think they do. I don't think they do.
Follow-up question?
Yeah, one follow-up on that. Originally, there were three bids. Do we know why the other one dropped out or why they didn't respond? Were they just not okay with the addendum?
My opinion on this would be that they were out of the ballpark on the first one, and their numbers may not have penciled down enough to be able to be close enough. Yeah, and it does take time and does take effort to submit a second bid, and they may just said it wasn't worth it at that point. I did try to contact them to see if they were going to make it, but I didn't hear back from them.
Member Harris.
I'm wondering if there isn't a way that we could, I'm worried about the $37,000. I mean, that seems to be the difference here, right? And although I know we specifically asked for these things, there's a lot of stuff that goes into a bid. These two items were left out. In my experience in other roles, you could ask for clarification, or you could ask for a letter of understanding or something to fill in for the fact that the stuff hadn't arrived in the bid package. I even did that with the Corps of Engineers in the past. So I am surprised that our little airport authority, we don't have a way that we can do this legally, feel comfortable, and use the lowest bidder.
You know, that might be the case if we were just talking about the addendum, but we can't really get there with respect to them incorrectly completing the provisions on the subcontractors and the self-performed. I mean, they would have to change pages. They would have to take pages out and send us new pages with different information. And I don't see that the same as having left something out. So I tend to agree with you. There should be a method to do that. And I know in past contracts where people have left out the identification of their disadvantaged business enterprise subcontractor, we've allowed them to supplement it to see, okay, who did you have in here, and demonstrate to us that they meet the criteria of DBE. We've done that in the past. But here, you got two different problems, and I don't think one of them might fit in that category. The other one definitely doesn't.
I appreciate that that view. The purpose of that, asking for that, is so that we know who will be performing. And I think we can accomplish that by, you know, a promissory letter, something that just says, yeah, we're going to do this work. Again, I am worried about spending this airport's money responsibly. And what I see is I don't think these technical errors should cost us $37,000 more in the work that's going to be done. It shouldn't cost the taxpayers, the airport community, that sort of thing. I'm feeling a little irresponsible if I vote for this. It's a lot of money considering the size of our budget.
Yeah, I understand. Keep in mind that we only pay 6% of that. So what we're really talking about is, what, $2,000? But I share your concern. You know, whether it's our money or the federal government's money, we want to be good stewards of the money. But, you know, the bottom line is, if you don't meet the bid criteria, the FAA rules and our own documents say that your bid's going to get rejected. And here, I think what Mr. Fitzgerald has observed and reported to us constitutes rejection grounds. That's my opinion. Judge might see it differently. I don't know.
I might add to that. My concern about it, and I share your opinion about saving the money. However, if we push this down the road, we may not qualify for this year's bid release. And that would be a major, by this time next year, we might have prices that took Q&D to the level of Maxwell, just because of availability if the economy continues to move forward. That concerns me more than anything. And having worked for a general contractor and had bids rejected before for these same exact type things, we had one down in Tonopah that was rejected and went back to do it. They accepted it, and the other bidder actually sued Anaconda, the company we were submitting our bids to. So I've seen that happen as well. And Q&D certainly, you know, they did exactly what they were supposed to. And if Maxwell isn't going to read their directions, I'm concerned about the performance as well. Exactly. Yeah. So that's my opinion. Any other questions on this? Member Barrett.
Generally, I agree with almost everything Bradley Harris says, but on this case, I agree with our chairperson. My problem is that if you don't perform on paper, how are you going to perform in concrete? And I would add, Q&D has done the downtown here and has done other things for the city, and they have performed quite well. So I tend to lean, although Bradley's definitely right about the money. I hate to spend the extra money, but I agree also with our legal counsel that then we'd have ourselves a real fight over who gets the contract, and it might cause more problems than it's worth.
Vice Chair Val.
So it sounds to me like the bid submittal was incomplete, not incorrect.
Yes.
How have we dealt in the past with incomplete submittals? Just outright rejection?
Rejections, yes.
Do we give them time to amend and resubmit?
Essentially, the only thing that has been able to be amended and resubmitted is the subcontractors list within the first 2 hours. And usually with that, it's a fairly simple process. This was also prior to when we've had the direct language of, you know, self-reporting and so forth. Essentially, everything else, if it's missing, is grounds for rejections. Even not even writing not applicable for the DBE list can be grounds for rejections. The biggest one we've had was when the runway project was done. The apparent low bidder did not submit an actual schedule, and upon questioning them of that, they submitted a schedule within 2 hours of that that only dealt with 25% of the project. So. There's big grounds and there's little grounds, and this is falling into one of those little grounds, but it's, once again, is an omission that wasn't completed.
Okay, so to summarize that, what you're saying is rejection of an incomplete bid is what we've done in the past, and that this is no different from the way that we've always done it. We're not establishing a new precedent then.
Correct.
Okay.
Further questions? Any public comment on this item? Seeing none. No further discussion on the item. I would entertain a motion to award the bid to Q&D, approve the contract with Atkins to provide construction supervision, conditioned on Atkins being selected as the airport engineer during construction, approve submittal for the FAAIP application, and authorize Chair Law and the mayor to accept the FAA grant when offered. Do I have a motion? What's that?
So I have one more question on that. So I don't understand the relationship between this being conditional and Atkins being approved. Why don't we go forward with the grant anyway, regardless of who the vendor is?
We would go forward with the grant, but part of the motion was to also approve the contract with Atkins to do the construction supervision. If this job starts while Atkins is currently the engineer or Atkins gets the new contract, that becomes a non-issue. Atkins will do the construction supervision. If this job doesn't start until after that date when the engineering decision has to be made, who's going to be the engineer, and Atkins is not chosen, then presumably it would be the new engineer. I think it likely it's going to be Atkins because I think the project's going to start before we get to that date, so it won't matter from that standpoint whether Atkins is.
I don't understand the conditional relationship between the two. If we pull one engineering firm out and put another one in, it's still the same cost, so why are we conditioning the approval of this bid award on Atkins? That's two different issues, isn't
it? Well, you don't have to do that, but if you, and I'm just thinking about the theoretical possibilities, if you choose someone other than Atkins for the next contract, because the FAA only allows us to do 5-year contracts, basically 3-year contracts with 2-year additions, if you choose somebody else and this project starts with that other person in place, then the question is, would you want to pay Atkins to do this project and somebody else to do our general engineering?
Okay.
Maybe you would. I don't know. But my thought was it should really track with whoever the engineer is that's in place, the supervision. Like I said, I think it's likely this job
is
going to get started
we get to that. Is what we're voting on this one then the Atkins condition being that hypothetically if Atkins isn't approved – or to be renewed as the airport engineer in the future, that they would be approved to continue working on this project for the duration of the project, no matter who the new engineer is?
I don't think that's what the chairman said. I think what the chairman said is approval of Atkins' additional tasks to their contract is conditioned on them being the airport engineer when the project occurs. And
yes.
So I think that's all we're trying to do. If you want to just approve Atkins' contract and, you know, use Atkins for the construction supervision independent of whatever choice you make when you get to renewal of the engineering contracts, that's your prerogative.
Okay. So I guess my question is, if we amend this so that it just approves going forward with the Q&D construction bid, to be submitted to the FAA and approved, and if at the time that the bid is accepted, Atkins is still our engineering company, that we would go with them. If not, we would go with whomever else is chosen if it's during that time frame, covered by the new person.
That's what I was thinking. I was just thinking that was the prudent way to go. This is your decision. You guys do whatever you want.
Go ahead, Brian.
And also, for the board's convenience, the grant application includes the airport administration design costs and estimated construction management cost, and then the actual construction cost with the contractor.
Mm-hmm.
That can be amended if you go to another engineer and their construction management costs are higher based upon their estimate of what the project would be. So that can be amended. But we do need to submit the grant application with these items in there. So that's why we're going with the Task 8 for our construction management services as the placeholder. And it just happens to be the time when you guys could be choosing somebody else if you don't retain us in the future. So it'll just be up to you at that point then to make an amendment to the grant based upon a different cost.
But right now, the numbers we're submitting for the grant includes your work up on your cost.
Correct.
That's
estimate of cost for construction
management. And if we got down the road, you were no longer the engineering company, we could submit a change order to move those figures to whatever the current company at that time is.
And then that is also a logical explanation as to why you're asking for more or less money on that grant.
Correct.
I know this is facetious, but could it also change to be lower rather than higher?
Yeah, anything is possible on that one.
Right, but right now what we're submitting to the FAA is inclusive of all our known costs. If those costs change after the award, then we would submit a change order to adjust accordingly to whomever that engineering and planning contract was given to.
Thank you.
Vice Chair.
So for my clarity, in my mind, the motion we're trying to construct right now is to approve money to go to Q&D, or are we approving Q&D and Atkins? What is this motion?
Yes, you're approving several things. You're approving the award of the bid to Q&D, the contract with Atkins, subject to what we just talked about, approval of submittal of the FAA grant application to the FAA, and authorizing the chairman and the mayor, the mayor actually signs, to accept the grant when offered. So we're trying to cover all the bases.
That is correct, and that's the way it was read. If we need to amend it later, we can come back with a change order and do that.
Okay. So I understand that, being serious now.
Yes.
We don't have a choice in terms of the FAA. We have to take the whole ball of wax to them.
That is correct.
And just to be clear, we can at any point in the process change contractors for some or all the work and submit a change order to the FAA saying that we've made a change. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah, that could happen. I guess the scenario you're thinking about is there was a bid protest and a court decided, no, it needs to be somebody else. Then we would go back to the FAA and amend the application to say, hey, look, here's the new arrangement.
I'm just clarifying that we said that we are identifying Atkins as the construction management contractor as a placeholder, I want that to be clear. That's what we're doing. That's why that's why we need to do it now so that we can accomplish the grant application to the FAA.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question. Yes, that's correct.
Therefore, all that being said, do I have a motion to approve this request for public comment? Yes. There. Do I have any public? Do I have any? No, he's already involved with Brian. Hearing no public comment, any further discussion on the motion?
There isn't a motion yet.
I read the motion.
Are you revising the motion?
I will reread the motion.
I just wanted to make sure. I have the motion.
Okay.
Unless the Atkins part is going to change.
Okay. No.
Who's making it?
Yes. Set it on the table.
Right. I would accept a motion to approve as stated previously and discussed.
So moved.
All right.
Second.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Rogers, a second by Mr. Barrett. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? None heard. Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to item G3 for possible action to approve final bill draft request for NRS 844 following Board of Supervisors suggested revisions. Mr. Takas.
Yes, the airport manager and I had a very good meeting in front of the Board of Supervisors. They were very supportive, asked, I thought, good questions about our bill legislation. We had outlined it pretty carefully in advance. They did get hung up a little bit on the difference between recommend changes to the Board of Supervisors with regard to zoning versus specify. Candidly, if that was the biggest issue in the room, that's fine because that's not a hill to die for. I think specify is an improvement, but like I said, that's not a hill to die for. But they accepted that. So they approved ours as submitted, but they made a recommendation or a suggestion, which they said you may want to keep in part of Section 26, which is the historical transfer of assets to the airport, from the city to the airport, because it outlines that division of responsibilities. And the suggestion was made based on, having a historical record. But then as I looked at it more, it's actually an important provision to keep in because it also does describe the difference of duties between the city and the airport. It relieves the city of a bunch of things and basically puts them on the responsibility of the airport authority. So that's the only change I made to the draft that went over there. I added those sections back into Section 26. So in other words, Section 26 before used to delete a bunch of sections, Sections 2 and 3. It no longer deletes Sections 2 and 3. In fact, I just added two words and thereafter so that it was clear that this is the division of responsibilities. And so with that, the Board of Supervisors has approved everything, and we put this on your agenda just to have you also approve that change on leaving those sections in Section 26.
And
I've already provided it to Assemblyman Kramer so that we could get, because there's this race to getting your bills in, and he's already submitted it to the LCB drafter who's working on it. So, if you change your mind and you want those sections of 26 to come out, which I kind of surprised me, but if you did, I could, of course, go back and get those integrated too. But at this point, it would be best if we could just get the bill drafted. Because the other problem that happens is when the bill comes back from the bill drafters, the language may not be identical to what we have suggested here, and then we need to sit down and work that out and make sure that the language that comes out says what we intended it to say, as opposed to what someone else might have misunderstood it to say. So with that, I would recommend that you approve the revised BDR.
Thank you. And what I wanted to cover is where you added that language back in. That just outlines the responsibilities we have currently that we've taken on over time.
Exactly. It doesn't change anything.
Right. Okay. Very good. Any questions of Mr. Takas? Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Takas, do you think a possible benefit of leaving that language in is that it will help us when we do the rewrite of the operating agreement between the city and the airport going forward?
You know what? I hadn't thought about that, but I think it will. Redoing the cooperative agreement with the city is a major undertaking, and this helps track the history of what happened there. I think that will help.
Any other questions of Mr. Takas? Vice Chair.
Have you spoken to anybody on the city side about redrafting that agreement? Like, who would be the other side?
No, I have not. I did alert them again that it's coming up because it expires in 2020, and so the time to start working on it is soon. I didn't get any feedback. The last time that we looked at amending the cooperative agreement, and we did make some little tweaks to it, it was quite a long time ago, they had me work with the DA's office. My thinking is we're going to do not a little tweaks. We're going to be doing kind of a major rewrite because a lot of the stuff that's in that cooperative agreement is now obsolete. And it really, it doesn't, you look at it, it doesn't even make sense anymore. And so I think it's really important that we have the manager, some board members, or at least a board member, and maybe myself involved. And then that should probably be done with someone in the DA's office and somebody in the city manager's office. And actually, the ideal person is in the city manager's office. It just occurred to me. The assistant city manager is Adriana Freilich, who is used to be the chief civil deputy at the in the DA's office. And she's very familiar. She is the person that was usually our contact from the airport when we had issues, and she's been very helpful to us. She'd probably be the right person.
Excuse me, for clarification, when you said a board member should be involved, did you mean an authority member or a board of supervisors member?
I was thinking an authority member. I wouldn't have any problem with a board of supervisors.
I just wanted to clarify it in my mind. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me.
I wasn't trying to recruit you, but you are certainly welcome, Supervisor Barrett, to be involved.
Any further questions of Mr. Takis before we go forward? Any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion that we approve the version of the bill draft request with the city's suggested additions as approved by the city. Moved.
Second.
By Vice Chair, seconded by Mr. Rogers. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Public comment? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Say nay. None heard. Motion carries. Good job. All right, we will move on to item H, the Airport Engineer's Report. Mr. Fitzgerald.
Back at it again. Also in my memo, we're talking about the Airport Master Plan update. We have our meeting scheduled for next Wednesday at the Terminal Building. The Planning Advisory Committee meeting will be meeting at about 2 o'clock to go over the latest chapters, which are online by now. You can view those chapters at carsoncity.airportstudy.com. And then be able to pull up all those chapters. Then we'll have a public meeting later on that night, like we had last time, for any of the interested members of the public to come and see what we've been up to, what direction we're going at this point, which is airport alternatives is going to be the key. We're going to be discussing that and areas of growth where we think the airport should concentrate at and so forth. So that'll be all the working things that we'll be going through during that meeting. We talked about our taxiway project. Hopefully, we'll be able to get that thing going here pretty soon. Oh, and on the taxiway project, our estimate at this point is probably physically starting after the air races. So we don't believe it's going to impact the air races in terms of starting time. Because even if they could start that week of the air races, we won't want them to. It's not the right time. So it'll most likely start right after the air races. Other than that, we just are looking forward to doing the next set of projects for the next years if reselected, getting all the groundwork started on that with environmental fee proposals set up. Our next project is going to be the perimeter fence replacement of the wire fence. That would be the next one on the list. And so we're digging into getting that project started at some point soon so we can have it out to bid early next spring and get new bids and going through this process again early summer and getting that constructed. That's all I have at the moment. Anything else?
I would ask you one thing. On the perimeter fence, we had that wildlife study that was done by NDOT, and there were indications in that study that there might be some grant money available from the Department of Wildlife, and so I would just ask you if you would check with them and see if that's still out there as a possibility.
I will definitely revisit that document and move forward.
Thank you. Mr. Rogers.
The next master plan meeting, are we clear on which members of the airport authority are going to attend that so that we avoid accidentally having a quorum there?
I believe Chairman Law and Member Harris are going to be during the Planning Advisory Committee meeting as invited members of the board that was established in the beginning. During the public event, we don't have any control as to who would show up at that point, but obviously it wouldn't be good if everybody showed up to that. But you're more than welcome to, but I highly suggest discussing with the other board members as to if they would attend that or not.
The one thing I might caution people about, generally I would attend that meeting, and I do plan to, but I have a brother in California who's gravely ill, and if I have to be in California next week, I may call on one of you to sit in on that meeting, if you wouldn't mind.
We can't have as many as three.
Right. Yes, we can have as many as three. Yes, exactly. So depending on what happens in the next few days, I may contact one of you who, if Mr. Rogers, you'd like to stand in my place. If I do need to leave town, I'll let you know what that situation is.
If you need the help, I'm there for you.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzgerald. Next is the airport manager's report. Mr. Moen.
Thank you. I was just clarifying a question with council about quorum being present at the meeting, but we'll talk about that offline. on Friday will be my 90th day at the airport. My, how time has flown. My first 90 days have been really focused on meeting city leaders, government officials, and tenants, FBOs on the airport, as well as focusing on the open house that is also on Saturday this week. So I'm looking forward to this weekend being over. It's gonna hit us like a freight train, I think. But we have had great response from the airport FBOs and tenants about participating in the open house. So we have had a few stragglers that have withdrawn their support as far as being able to attend or display aircraft, but you know that always is going to happen. You're going to have your onesies, twosies, so I'm not too concerned about that. It is going to be a hot day, so we'll see how the weather impacts attendance. I think we'll have early morning attendance will be really good. We've had a very big push on outreach. We should start seeing some signage on this right out here on College Parkway on the digital board. It'll be a notice. The library is going to have a notice up, as well as Harley-Davidson on 580. We're going to have some opportunity to put a notice on their digital board. I encourage you to come out. I encourage you to come out early. Opening ceremony is at 9. Gates open at 8, I think. But member Harris will be playing the national anthem for us. And then CAP Color Guard from Reno will be down. And I think it'll be a really good event. We're going to try to do the flight activities early in the morning. So if the wind does pick up midday, that you know we're not going to miss out on that opportunity. We're completing the layout now. It looks like our lecture series is going to be taking place inside the EAA building. And then we do have a tentative agreement that Bobby Freeman will come and perform starting around lunchtime. And it just depends on where he is and the scheme of life, if he'll make it or he won't make it. One other item that you'll notice when you go on the terminal, we've done a minor change in there. It seemed to have a big impact on the echo in that building. We completed hanging some drapes. We've got 12 panels in there now on the north and the south side. It's really seemed to have improved the acoustics in that room. We do have a couple other things we'll do, but we're probably not going to get to that kind of stuff till after the open house. Gary Province and I are receiving training on the NOTA Manager Program. That's a outreach of the FAA to get airports to train and logged on to the NOTA Manager system so you can publish NOTAMs on the fly through the computer. And that also gets us a digital map of our airfield. And Kirk Hochul has confirmed that the FAA is going to be publishing an airport diagram that will go up on 4Flight and will go into the supplemental sectionals or the supplemental books regarding Carson City. So I think that's really a real benefit to the aviators coming in or attempting to come into our airport. So they'll have a real diagram that they can draw on. I did participate in two FAA FAST events in the last month. One was at the CVI in Minden on May 30th that was primarily about the Minden Tahoe Airport and non-Tahoe operations. And then there was another one out at Dayton Airport on June 5th. And both of those events were really good as far as the dialogue was concerned about non-Tahoe operations and just generally aeronautical operations in the area, and got to meet some folks from different airport communities, and so that was a real positive. And out of that, some of those folks are coming up to our open house as a result of those meetings. I want to congratulate Member Rogers and Member Harris for helping us, our airport staff, on our fundraising and getting vendors out to our event. We had a goal internally of $10,000, and I was a little leery that a couple of times that we were going to hit that, but we exceeded that goal, and we did get some trade value from some other vendors in town, including the Sierra Nevada Media Group and, you know, like Harley-Davidson, Home Depot and stuff. So that took that in-kind value up to about 15 grand. So I was really impressed with the outpouring support that we have both within the airport authority as also in the community. One other project I want to touch on real quickly, as you know, we approved Sierra Skyways to do some hangar development. Well, they started scraping dirt on Tuesday. And so if you do get out on the airport up around taxiway Charlie on the north east corner there, you'll see that project's well underway. And the site looks really good, so they followed the recommendations that we made as far as safety is concerned. We have a sweeper on site to keep debris off the taxiway. They have delineated the work area with some of our low boys, and then they're all appropriately flagged. And we just had a briefing, a pre-construction meeting, where we discussed airport operations and construction activity. And the contractor, as well as the engineer, have been real helpful in responding to our requirements and requests. So that's all I have. Anything for me?
Any questions?
Yeah,
Mr. Baer.
Just want to follow up on your congratulations to you and to Bradley and to John for exceeding your goal on sponsorships. That's great. It leads to the question in my mind, in your talking with civic leaders and others, I assume, are you getting any ideas regarding the economic development aspect of your charge for us? I know it's only 90 days, but I'm always eager to see if we can find more money.
Well, I've got plenty of ideas. Now, how many of them will be fruitful or valuable? We're going to make a determination on that at a later point in time. But, you know, I have to say the outpouring of support from the community has been just tremendous. The city has been very responsive to inquiries and making time to meet with me, and as well has various other business leaders in the community. Member Rogers and I have had lunch with a couple different parties, and our discussions are always back to the airport and how we can improve that facility and look at different aspects for economic development. I expect that the next 6 months are really going to be where we're going to get our arms wrapped around that. But I think what more importantly, what this is all leading towards is this strategic plan that the airport authority needs to adopt or first develop and then adopt. But most importantly, I think that we've got the community support behind the future of this, you know, watching the airport improve and grow. And so I think that that's really going to be one of the catalysts. I don't think we'll feel like we're all pulling on the rope by ourselves, but that we'll get the community support to help tug on the end of that rope. And
follow-up question. I know that you met the city manager, and then he turned around and walked on us. Have you met the new interim city manager?
I have. I have worked with her on a couple occasions and her staff. She's, you know, introduced me to a couple other people that have been real big help. So I just can't say enough about how open they have been, and I really think that we're on the right track.
Any other questions? Mr. Rogers.
This is not a question, it's more of a statement, but I'm in the process of going out soliciting support for the open house. It became quite apparent to me that the open our open house is kind of a unique event in Carson City in that it charges no admission. That is, I think, a little self-congratulatory pat on the back should be in order for all of us that we host an event like that in Carson City that draws from the entire community. Many events in Carson City charge admission and therefore limit the participation, and we don't. And I think that's much to our credit.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much, Mr. Mullen. Next is legal counsel's report. Mr. Takas.
I would mention that given your approval of the grant application for the taxiway project, I just talked to Mr. Fitzgerald. He's going to send me a copy of the signed grant application after it's signed, and then I will schedule a time for the airport manager and myself to go present it to the Board of Supervisors. Just so you know, what we do is we get that approval in advance, because when the FAA gives us the grant offer, they give us a really short window to respond with the signed acceptance of the offer, usually too short to wait for the next Board of Supervisors meeting. And so by your approval tonight and the other approval we'll get from the Board of Supervisors, we should be well positioned so that when the grant comes, we can sign it, certify it, and send it back and accept it. So that's number one. And the other thing is the little sidebar that the airport manager and I were having right before he got to his item. And I thought I'd just mention it here. His question was, well, you could have, couldn't you have more than three board members at the master plan meeting without violating the open meeting law, as long as you don't deliberate toward a decision on anything. And that's a true statement. The difficulty in application is you're there at a meeting to discuss something which is going to come forward and be voted upon by you, and to avoid accusations that you really made up your mind during that meeting instead of the publicly noticed airport authority meeting is difficult to rebut. And so the prudent approach is just to make sure you don't have a quorum there, because then you don't have to worry about making that showing that you didn't deliberate on it. Eventually, you're all going to get all of the information for the master plan, so you're all going to get the same information to look at. But the prudent approach is for participation in these kinds of meetings, we should limit it to less than a quorum. And that's all I got.
Thank you. Since our treasurer isn't here this evening, we will obey our treasurer's report. But I would ask perhaps that our manager confer with him and put the end of the month reports off of our accounting system up onto the website.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right, report from authority members. I might touch on two things. First of all, the FAA conference, Western States Conference, that Mr. Moen and I and Brian Fitzgerald attended last week went very well. We had an opportunity to meet with a number of people who I think will be very helpful in completing our operations manuals and so forth like that are willing to share things they've beaten out over the years that will give us some policy guidance that we can then bring to the board as suggestions for things that we might do here. There were a tremendous number of people there. I would guess 450, 500, yeah. And it was a really nice opportunity to meet people from other airports, see how they manage their stuff. Also, there were people there from various peripheral organizations that are involved with airports and so forth that came to me and said, if you need any help at all, please let us know. We're more than happy to share our expertise. So that was very worthwhile. Secondarily, I did call the treasurer's office a couple days ago to see how they're coming along on qualifying us for the local government investment pool. And the gentleman who I've been dealing with is out on vacation this week, so unfortunately I didn't get an answer back, but I will keep pursuing that until we find out one way or another what we're going to do there. So do I have any other reports from authority members on any other ongoing activities? Mr. Takas.
I just want to underscore something that you said. The fact that you were invited to present at the FAA conference is quite a feather in our hat. When you look at the programs that are offered on multi-tracks there, the vast majority are FAA programs to show the right way of doing things. And being invited into that same group to make a presentation on the right way of doing something with respect to our hangar use policy is quite an impressive statement. And so I just want to underscore that and thank you also for doing that, because I'm like really proud of you guys.
And you deserve to be, and I think we have done a good job under conditions when it started that weren't the best. Thank you.
I might add that while I was there, I was talking to Mike Williams, the FAA representative, and he was asking for some additional background that wasn't in the slide presentation that I showed to you. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm sure every airport has the person who stands outside and scratches on the window. And it was amazing. There were four or five other airport managers and operators there, people from boards and so forth, that said, oh, yeah, we have ours too. So we're not alone in this, but I told him, I said, you know, the one thing I took away from this whole process is it's a cooperative and great opportunity to learn to work with people, not only in your local environment, but with the FAA and get those things straightened out. So I thought it did us a really good service to be there and talk to those folks. So.
And I was in attendance in that meeting, the presentation that Chairman Law did, and it was well received by everybody in the room, including the FAA. They all realized that you had to go through this process that we went through, albeit it was brand new, and it was a learning curve, and everybody shared their stories as well, but it was well received, and I really appreciated being in that particular breakout session. Did a very good job.
Thank you. No more. If there are no further updates from the authority members, I'll move on to public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? None being heard. Any agenda items that are expected to be put on the next regular meeting agenda, if you would provide them to Manager Moen, that would be wonderful. And with that, any further comments before I adjourn the meeting? None heard. We're adjourned.